There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. And lots to do on today's show. You want to interact? That's cool. I encourage it. The text line and the phone line, same number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. So check that out. Right now, there it is. Just a second ago, Hakeem Jeffries. Now, we have like, 135 have voted already here for Speaker of the House, and they've gaveled back in for the new Congress. Mike Johnson now tied again. Okay, as his ticker's going with Hakeem Jeffries at 68. Obviously, Hakeem Jeffries is not going to be the Speaker, but is Mike Johnson going to be the Speaker in this first ballot? I don't know. It doesn't look like it, but we'll keep our eyes on this and let you know what happens as the votes are coming in right now up in Washington. Hey, let's work this backwards. In hour number two, if you can be with us, Dr. Ruth Carmichael. It's been a while since she's been on the show with me. I think last time she was on the show with me was the last time there was a whale that had died, and it was actually, I guess it was beached and then died. It's like 4 years ago. This has happened again. Of course, people were talking about that that sperm whale that was found dead. We're going to talk about that with her and just general. I know they're working a bunch of manatee stuff right now. Cold snap comes in. Some of these marine mammals don't migrate, and then all of a sudden, the manatees get caught in Dog River or somewhere else, and the water gets too cold. With the whales, it might be a little different story, but she's going to join us at 1 o'clock to talk about that. Also at 12:30, my friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com joins us, so a lot to talk about. And like I said, we'll keep our eyes on this vote on the new Speaker of the House. Before we go any further, though, there's something from this morning. So, and I kind of want to just talk about this. I know it was a discussion in the 8 o'clock hour on Mobile Mornings with Dalton and with Dan, and it's coming off of, and there are some pre-filed bills. We've talked about this before, right? This gets done on both sides of the aisle, that members of the House and Senate, you've got just weeks now before they gavel back in on Goat Hill. Little pre-filed bills. Sometimes pre-filed bills are months and months ahead. And we've talked about some of them, like what they call the machine gun bill. Another one that got attention here, though, was Smitherman, which I think Senator Smitherman was also on the machine gun bill. But this one here from Heather Gann from AL.com, and the guys were talking about this morning, Alabama State Senator Roger Smitherman, Democrat out of Birmingham, has pre-filed a bill that would require couples to take at least one conflict resolution class before they can get married. So currently the only requirements to get married in Alabama are to complete a marriage document and pay a recording fee. Now, I've mentioned this before many times. I don't think it should be the job of the state. This is that little government part of me that it changes from like maybe your average Alabama conservative. There's some things that I'm probably more liberal on, some things I'm more conservative on. The state being in the business of marriage, which it is, you could bring all the arguments, and I understand the reasonings for stuff for property and courts and all that stuff. But just this long tradition of the government being in the business of recording and doing marriages like that, I think it's wrong. But it said under Smitherman's pre-filed bill, SB 33, probate judge would still collect the fee, but there would be no requirement to obtain a license or undergo a ceremony to solemnize the marriage. End quote. Once a couple had completed their class and turned in the documentation listing their names of verification that both parties are over 18 or above 16 with the parents' permission, the marriage would be recorded. But he says, yeah, you would have to go to this class. It said a bill would also require an administrative office of the courts to determine a minimum requirement for acceptable premarital conflict resolution class to create a form to verify class attendance. So now we're going to grow government, right, to have this class. Now, this is an overstepping of the bounds of what government should do. Alabama, while we are a conservative state, we are a big government conservative state, right? It really what drives a lot of Alabama's conservatism is social conservatism, probably more than fiscal or downsizing government, right? It's just the nature of the state. And growing government to do this, because you can make an argument and say, well, this is good. Well, what is the class of good? What is it going to be like? What's the class going to be like? Who's teaching it? Is it going to be something that you go in there like and sit for 30 minutes and then you get the form? I mean, what's the point in that? And I do have an angle on this. This morning it came up and said, okay, well, government shouldn't do this, but, you know, this is done in certain faiths. The Catholic faith does it, and people were talking about it. I know that I think even Michael on the text line this morning was talking about it. And my experience is just one that is very narrow. It is only myself and my then wife, right, or then before we were married, going to this in the Catholic Church. And so I can't speak how these classes are everywhere. I can speak to the one I went to. You go to Visitation Monastery, you go down there, you do this retreat thing. And maybe something has changed in the 23, 24 years ago. What the Catholic Church was doing then in that classroom at that retreat weekend. And this, I think I've said this never on the air, never talked about this stuff on the air. I've said it personally. But yeah, this is good. You know, the nature of, 30 years in radio and building a radio station, a chance to vent out there. That you talk about not getting along with the times. That class back then, and I've told the story enough, I think my memory is somewhat decent from back then. I don't remember every nuance of what happened. But it was constructed for somebody in the 1950s. Okay? And you go into that thing and you go through it, and it was absolutely as pedestrian and 1950s as it could get. So, because once again, I think what Smitherman wants to do, I don't agree with, because I don't believe that's the job of government. But if I'm talking to people in the church world out there, and maybe many churches are advanced on this, but you got to move along with the times. We're sitting in there, and I was, probably 29 or 30 at that point, going to get married, and 29. And it was, hey, here's a checkbook. Here's how you write out checks and bills. Who's going to drive the car? I mean, it was the dumbest stuff and the most simplistic thing, maybe written for a time when people were 17, 18 years old getting married. But this was happening in 2002 when this was happening. 2001 maybe when it was happening. So it was just like go down there and sit and spend the time so you can get the stamp from the church so you can get married. Now, once again, maybe these things have changed. Maybe they're moved on. But it was, to me, pointless. So I would suggest, and somebody who's gone through the ringer on this, that if you're going to do these on the church side, like once again, I Smitherman's bill, this is silly. It's not the job of government. But for the churches, Catholic or Protestant, other faiths have, I know Catholics do. If there's other other denominations that that do this, or any other faith that does this, make it realistic. The subjects that are the ones that grind you, and you might be in a perfect marriage, but you still probably have a little bit of this. You may be in a not-so-perfect marriage. The things that split couples apart, the things that lead to divorces in this country, are not teaching you about a checkbook. It might maybe they can teach you about money and who spends what and how people might be different and what they expect out of that, but not how to write out a check. Not who's going to drive the car. Not what time dinner is going to be served. It's stupid. investigate what splits people apart. Investigate the leading causes out there. And then reverse engineer the classes out there. Churches, groups that are doing this, reverse it. Because what I experienced decades ago was absolutely just a go do the thing to get the stamp to move on. So once again, what Smitherman's talking about, conflict resolution, those ideas might be good. Do they need to be the job of government? Hell no. But in the setting of churches and other groups out there, maybe you're with the times. But if you're not, truly, you know, like anybody in the archdiocese is going to go, well, Sullivan says it, we're going to change it. But it's incumbent upon y'all, if you want to do better for people out there, your parishioners, your members of your church out there, get with the times. Do something that is that speaks to real problems and real things, and things that might not be expected. Things that might even be, we can't talk about those things in the church-affiliated building. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And if you don't, you're just running a money operation where you're getting money for people to do things to get a stamp, to move on, and you're probably at that point no better than Senator Smitherman deciding there needs to be some class that people have to take to then go to the government to pay them more money to be said they're married. Mike Johnson now has 121 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, 113. So still nothing decided yet. Come right back to that right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, they got Karl Rove on right now doing commentary on Fox News on this vote. Talk about salvaging a career. Talk about missing your call politically. Like predictions for presidential elections and then, like the Phoenix coming back, Karl Rove still a thing. Mike Johnson, 154 votes right now. Hakeem Jeffries, 141. It's not that Hakeem Jeffries is going to win, but it looks like it's going to be, we'll see here. If it doesn't start pulling away fast, there's going to be another two other votes from Republicans there. So there are no votes for Johnson. So we'll see. It may be a second or third ballot thing. Remember the Kevin McCarthy days. How many ballots was it? 15 or 16 there? I mean, it's something. All right, back to the text line. And I was going to, do Mike Johnson stuff here, but a lot of text coming in here. This is good. This is pretty important information here, things that changed. I was giving you just, this comes from, if you're just joining us, there was a pre-filed bill from Senator Roger Smitherman, and he filed a bill that would require at a state level what churches do, right? Some church, I know the Catholic Church does, I don't know if others, he calls this a conflict resolution class or something before the state would issue, the marriage certificate and take your money. Of course, they'll have a bigger issue with the state or government being in the world of ordaining marriages, but I understand the law behind it and the reasons of the money. I understand those things, so we don't have to go through a lecture on the text line on that. But I just, at my gut, it feels like it's not the job of government. But and then I mentioned, I think it's silly for government to be in that. I just mentioned from the church side my experience with these this class in the Catholic Church, and that it was to me silly, pedestrian, not with the times. And maybe things changed. Now, Roach says on the text line, he said, I went in 2010, it was still the same, you're 100% correct. But now I have people like Michael said, it changed in, was it Michael or somebody? Yeah, it changed in 06. So he said, you must have been before it changed because I went through visitation in 06. said, and the Catholic premarital training. So here, as he says, 100% different than when you, what you remember now. It's about conflict resolution. Okay, that's good. That's good. Maintaining intimacy is real important. And having a biblically-based marriage, their numbers don't lie. 19% divorce rate in practicing Catholics, 51% in practicing Protestants. Although you sent something into the show this morning, I had seen on the text line, Michael, the atheists have a 2% divorce rate. The pagans, the Wiccan pagans have a 1%. The Sikhs have a 6%. Buddhists have a 10%. Hindus have a 5%. Jewish has 9%. Muslims have an 8%. Born-again Christians lead the pack at a 33% divorce rate. Orthodox Christian, 9%. Jehovah's Witness, 9%. Mormons, 9%. Protestants, 51%. And Catholics, 19%. So Protestant, regular Protestants, top of the heap at 51%. Born-again Christians, just 33%. It's an interesting stat. I don't know where you got that came from. That is interesting to put out there. But if things are changing, that's good. I just think I look at it and the things you back then, of course, I didn't know it back then, 29-year-old kid, but the things that become real issues, and maybe not for everybody, maybe your life is charmed and I'm happy for you, were not the things that were discussed back then. Now, by the way, Randy said, Sean, what if we're 65 and want to get married? I said, don't do it. Please just don't do it. And then this texter said, yeah, it teaches you for not being a narcissist to your partner in the new one. Said, Shauna did this back in 96. It was actually good because they talked about the biggest problem. Newly married people run into is money and how to manage money, and it does help keep divorce down, maybe because it's so simplistic. Listen, if it helps, that's good. But what I, you know, what I experienced, and you're talking to me, a named texture on there, that your experience was different. That's good. I'm just, that's why I said when I started, I wouldn't talk. I said what I experienced at that point was, it was like, it's just, you've watched a, like, if you, okay, if you're watching a YouTube video to repair something, right? You know the part that you scroll through? You're like, yeah, I get that. I know what. I know what 11/16 socket looks like. I know what a, you know, Phillips head looks like. You know, you're like, okay, just get to the part where you, how you put that part back in the washing machine, right? You need the stuff you scroll through. To me, it was like the stuff you scroll through part. But we never got to the thing, the real world stuff. So that's just one dude's experience, one dude's opinion on it. Y'all have got many opinions on the text line too. That's good. Keep them coming at 343-0106, 343-0106. Speaking of things going on in the state, too, what Erica's going to join us here in a little bit, and she has a bunch of different stories we want to talk about, but this one's interesting. The law passed back in last year in session that would remove all the income taxes on capital gains from the sale of silver and gold. I would imagine probably platinum and palladium as well. Went into effect yesterday. So this is maybe something, you know, if you're somebody that has been doing the precious metals thing, it's good to go now. She'll give us the details on that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we can talk about more of these pre-filed bills. I mentioned this, that Senator Smitherman was on the machine gun one. Remember, we've talked about that one in the past when it was been pre-filed for months here. It said, and the term machine gun, I'm just telling you how it's written, said Alabama Senator Smitherman pre-filed a series of bills that would create a standardized definition of the term machine gun under Alabama law, as well as penalties for improper storage of firearms. That was the part we liked, that sarcasm, and escalated penalties for crimes committed with machine guns. Well, they're currently federally illegal, whether you have one or you modify a semi-auto to become one. But it says SB 30... pre-filed states anyone in possession of a firearm must, quote, secure a firearm in his or her possession, control, care, or custody in a manner and location where the individual knows or reasonably should know that an unauthorized person is not likely to gain access to the firearm, end quote. Once again, the spirit of what Senator Smitherman's talking about, I agree with. Is it the job of the state legislature to put through laws to require that? Not to me. Be right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And you said the lot is full up here. I mean, it's a new year and you already got stacks of vehicles.
Yeah, we've got a real good selection of vehicles, and we're going to be buying some more Monday and Tuesday of next week. So now's the time to come see us. I mean, no matter what you're looking for, if we have it or we've got a availability to get it. I tell you, one that we've got out here is a 2020 F-150 four-wheel drive crew cab. Retail on it, an NADA J.D. Power, is $34,750, something you can buy for $28,000. So that's a heck of a deal on that truck.
Yeah, the thing will probably not make it through today or tomorrow out there at that price. So tell folks you're going to come check out that vehicle and a whole lot more out there on the lot, how they find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. That 2020 F-150 is on the website. Pictures are on there, and it is a one owner with a clean Carfax. So if you're looking for a nice truck, that's a really nice truck.
All right, check it out. David, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary, check it in from LCM Motor Cars, and check in on the text line as well here. Let's see here. You know what? This is a pretty good conversation. We may even continue this just on the text line. A lot of people about it just got started with Senator Smitherman talking about this requirement for Alabama, and I don't believe the government should do it, but I think you should have you should just make sure you update churches out there and other groups. You should update your information there. So, all right, let's go. Let's see, 343-0106. And this is interesting too. Like, and Jeff talked about some on the show. I'll go to a tweet here from somebody here on Jeff's show. I like this guy, Scott Buttram. So he tweeted this. Let's see, when was this? Yesterday? No, it's today. It's this morning. So, Scott Buttram from Trustville Tribune texted or tweeted, "Yesterday, over a half a dozen state agencies began singing in unison the praises of Governor Kay Ivey. I believe, and I'm not alone, Governor Ivey will resign soon and allow Will Ainsworth, the lieutenant governor, to serve a year as governor before announcing his run for a full term." Now, that is interesting, too, because remember there, we've talked about the splits there have been, right? Splits there have been between Governor Ivey and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. A few times it come up. You could think back to COVID things. You could also think back to Governor Ivey championing the West Alabama Corridor road build and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth saying, well, 65 is probably more important than that. And then things would get quiet. It's like they would have these disagreements, and then I just guessed. I don't have insider information on it that something was done behind the scenes that quieted things down. The disagreement between the governor and lieutenant governor, which is something you don't often hear about. So I just wonder here if this is true that there is some move, and we'll read Craig Bonger's story in a second here from 1819, that this is the deal cut, because Will Ainsworth right now, with the by people we know are going to get in, of course you have the Tuberville factor, but will he get in to run for governor? But without Tuberville in the mix, Will Ainsworth, as it sits now, is the lead horse in this, in the gubernatorial cycle for 2026. If Ivey steps down, and lets Will Ainsworth enter that position, you talk about you have your already lead horse, and then you get truly the incumbent advantage going into 2026. So yeah, I read you Scott Buttram's tweet, but here's a story from Craig Monger over at 1819 News. It says, KIV legacy springs to life. State agencies offer a barrage of praise for the sitting governor. And this is interesting how this happens all at one time. You say, well, it's a new year. The fact that this lines up this way is suspect, right? It's suspect here. Craig's story says, in the first days of the new year, Governor Kay Ivey received a massive wave of social media adoration within the span of a few hours from multiple agencies in the state praising her administration's work. And once again, I don't think it's crazy to think that state agencies would praise the head of the executive branch and the governor. But I'm looking at what Craig and Scott Buttram and many others in the state are doing. It happened all like the same day. It's kind of like, you know, click here to sign and email your representative. You know, when they come in almost like a form letter. It says here, during early Thursday morning hours in what appears to be a coordinated effort, several state agencies ranging from tourism to education all took to Twitter to applaud Ivy for her work in boosting the various institutions. It's unclear what caused the massive influx of love from the agencies all retweeted by the governor. However, with the 2025 legislative session a mere month away, it could be constructed as an effort to seek a larger slice of the state funding pie. So, you know, that could be, hey, you know, even though it's the legislature that makes the decisions on the state funding pie, but another side road, let me go on. Remember, our general fund, in Alabama, you got the wall between the ETF, right? There's a wall there. It's like the northern ice wall in Game of Thrones. You can't get past it. There are white walkers north of there. So you can't get in the ETF. And 93% of the general fund budget in Alabama is already earmarked. So when the legislature gavels in and they're talking about money for this, money for that, they're talking about 7% of the general fund budget. But the legislature does make those decisions, not the executive branch. Now, I'm not naive in believing that the executive branch doesn't put a thumb on the scale and whip votes and bully and do what's needed to, you know, get things done. But what power does essentially a lame duck governor have over the legislature in this next session? It's not as much as it's been in years past. But it's a theory, and it's a theory and fair of Craig bringing it up, that maybe these are people trying to, you know, get a bigger cut. He goes on to write, it's unclear what caused the massive influx. It said, surprisingly, the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs was the first agency to commend Ivy. Now, it shouldn't be surprising, because the person that drew the ire of Governor Ivy, Admiral Kent Davis, is not there. And she has reset it in her own image at ADVA. So I don't think I'm as surprised that they were the first to line up with the tweets. Says, so the first agency to commend the governor on Twitter was the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Ivy recently had a very public feud. We know that part. All right. In the tweet, the ADVA said its partnership with Ivy was, quote, making Alabama the most veteran. Can I read this? Okay, pull it together, Sean. In the tweet, the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, through their Twitter account, their X account, said, quote, says, here I'm reading the tweet, through the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs partnership with Governor Ivey, we're making Alabama the most veteran-friendly state in the nation. Y'all got some work to do. Y'all got a lot of work to do. Throw that out there. Goes on to say the other tweets poured in throughout the morning with more adoration coming from Alabama Tourism Department, Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, the Alabama Department of Commerce, Alabama Department of Early Childhood Education, the Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs. They all, and they're embedded here, the tweets for that, coming out, you know, all these graphics with them and things are saying, you know, rah, rah, rah for Governor Ivey. Once again, I don't think that the idea that these agencies would, on their own, send something out to kiss butt of the executive branch. Probably it's smart business to do that. But them all coming out yesterday boom, 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 and being retweeted. Yes, as Craig says, it could be trying to make sure the governor's on your side. When the legislature goes in, she can put her thumb on the scale and help you get whatever more funding out of the 7% that's not earmarked already in the general fund. Or it could be, as Scott Buttram said, the beginning of the end. You speak, you think about the way people are spoken of in their eulogy. It's very positive and glowing. Is this that they're getting word that Governor Ivey steps down? And this is speculation. Oh, wait, and Scott Buttram's speculation, by speculation, that maybe this is the beginning of some stepping aside. I would guess it wouldn't happen until after session. So we're looking at May or June. If this would happen, that's just theory. Governor Ivey steps aside. Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth comes in. And not only is he in some trade he made, maybe I would say, but I don't know. I mean, it's Montgomery. So I feel there had to be some kind of trade made. But this is made, and you end up with Will Ainsworth having the incumbent status going into the 2026 gubernatorial cycle. All right, your thoughts on this? We'll get to that and a whole lot more when we come back at 343-0106. Mike Johnson, where are we? 217. Hakeem Jeffries, 213. Of course, with a very narrow lead in the House, you would expect that Hakeem Jeffries would do almost as well as Mike Johnson. He's four away from it. We'll be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, looks like he does not have it. We'll come right back to what just happened in the votes in Washington. Mind you, this segment's brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Listen, 52 weeks a year, 365, or in a leap year, 366 days. A year is a good time to get with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. But this is, this is the time of year, I'm sure, too, that so many people are thinking about it. Like, people are like, I'm joining the health club. I'm going to do the workout thing. Well, and so many people do this, and this is a lot easier than going and getting on the elliptical. People will say, man, we're going to get organized around the house and cleaned up in the new year, in 2025. A great way to get that started is getting the junk out of the house. You know, it's stuff you don't need. You've been working around. What if that wasn't in that room? You know, whether it's a piece of furniture you want to just get rid of, boxes of junk you don't want anything, or, hey, we're cleaning out the garage so we can put the cars in there, whatever it is. You got junk around the house and you've decided we're going to make a change in 2025. We'll get it started the right way with my buddy Trey. He's been doing this 16 plus years, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK is a service that gives you an actual appointment too. So if you call or go online, you can find it. They'll find a day that works for you, a time that works for you, because they know you got like a life and a job and family and all those things. And you're there and they're there. And all you do is point at the junk you want to be gone. And they'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes and get to work and get it done then. And it's out of your life and you're on to a fantastic 2025. So go online or pick up the phone, either way, to get in touch with 1-800-GOT-JUNK and set that appointment today. Online, it's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And of course, on the phone, the name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, it's didn't make it on the first ballot, 216. Here's the breakdown. Johnson gets 216, Jeffries 215, three other votes. And Dalton was helping me during the break. The three other votes, well, one name I know quite well. The others were not so common to be. Thomas Massey wasn't just a no, he's a hell no. Thomas Massey's an interesting guy, and it's interesting to hear people talk about him. I was into Thomas Massey before it was cool. He's just a smart guy and has his own opinions, and he's a principled person. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. I like that. I do like that. Maybe that's a thing that you think about the politicos that I do like. I like that. I like them not bending to the will of others if they truly believe in what they believe. I think Thomas Massey's one of those people. But he was a hell no vote on that. Also, Representative Norman out of South Carolina and Representative Self out of Texas. Neither of those, I think, are Freedom Caucus members. Now, of course, that was the discussion that the Freedom Caucus, you know, wasn't gonna be able to play ball here. You know, that was going to be this hiccup. But it looks like, you know, that wasn't the impediment that they thought they would. Dalton walking in the studio with some breaking information.
Well, yeah.
Why are you not? That's because that button's not pressed. There you go.
Am I good now?
Yeah, you're good.
As you and I were trying to look into this, Norman and Self apparently are in the House Freedom Caucus.
Which, oh, okay. I thought they weren't.
Looks like it's grown quite a bit even from last year during that McCarthy vote. But Norman,
so they are Freedom Caucus members.
That's right. Massey is not.
No, Massey is not, because Massey's not going to join any club that would have him as a member. It's why I like him. That's why I like him. I like that kind of
stuff. So, yeah, Norman from South Carolina is Freedom Caucus, and Self from Texas is as well. And it looks like the votes, Massey.
So those two guys were Freedom, but the rest of the Freedom Caucus, there's another seven, right?
Yeah, they all lined up behind Johnson, including
voted as a block. I thought they were lockstep.
Yeah, apparently no longer. Andy Harris is head of the House Freedom Caucus, and it sounded like he was wavering until the Trump endorsement came down, but he voted with Johnson, and so did a majority of the Freedom. Massey went with GOP Majority Whip Tom Emmer.
Okay.
Norman fittingly went with Jim Jordan. Okay. With the Freedom Caucus, yeah. And then Self voted Byron Donalds. So
okay.
That's how those votes ended up.
So, but it's not enough. Now, I don't know what could change here, because your other votes, you just named two Freedom Caucus members, right? These are people that, although there's an exception, the rest of the Freedom Caucus didn't do it, but these two that are, you would say, principal voters, the king of the principal voters is Thomas Massey.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's no deal. You know, you can't give Thomas Massey something to vote for something. You would have to change something about Mike Johnson for Thomas Massey to vote for.
Right. And I think maybe if I had to guess, they're depending on Massey not switching his vote. So is the Freedom Caucus, even though a majority went and backed Johnson, are they using each member like a poker chip? You haven't lost 18 members of the Freedom Caucus.
Because he's got to have 218. He's got 216 right now, so he'd have to have those two members.
They'll need to flip those two. So is the Freedom Caucus hanging out for that one little extra thing? Hey, you've got almost all of us on board here.
If you were a smart Democrat, and you were, you know, a centrist Democrat right now, you got Trump coming in. You've got a slim majority, but yeah, the Republicans run the show.
Mm.
And you want a little something.
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance, maybe. Maybe, I don't know, though. The Democrats are good at being lockstep. I was just wondering if you could flip two Democrats.
Yeah.
Is it easier to flip two Democrats than flip, you know, the guy out of South Carolina, Self, and the and Norman?
Yeah. What would you gain being a quote unquote moderate Democrat or centrist Democrat?
Depends on what your district is, right? I mean, if you're in New York or California, hell no. You'd be out
Is it possible for you as a Democrat to earn some goodwill from the Republican side of the House, mm-hmm. and have that outweigh whatever bad comes down your way for breaking line with the Democrats?
Well, just the only thing that matters is, you know, 2-year cycles having to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
It truly depends on where those Democrats come from. Although it's like so much of that has changed. It used to be you had Democrats that could be in play, but now as far left as the party has gone, if they would wake up and see what just happened with Trump, there might be some to say, you know, I'm going to still be a Democrat, but I'm going to play a little bit of ball here and do something. That's my guess right now. I might be shown to be wrong, but they may have a better chance of flipping two Democrat votes to Johnson than they do, you know, two Freedom Caucus members. And we know Thomas Massey, unless the world goes upside down, is a no vote.
I would just love to know what that jockeying was like this morning, because there were countless Republicans, way more than the number that voted other today, that said they were undecided as of yesterday evening. So this morning, that jockeying was going on. Was there any of that happening on the Democrat side at all, or do they just go in and sit down and their vote is their vote?
Well, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, obviously, and how much the pressure, you know, the same pressure you have on the Republican side to vote for Johnson, you know that Jeffries and Pelosi and others are putting the pressure on the Democrats not to break rank. Mm-hmm. Not to break ranks. So this will be interesting. So at least another ballot on this one. Do we go, what was McCarthy, 15, 16 rounds on this?
Yeah. took forever.
We'll watch it. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Dr. Ruth Carmichael from the Dolphin Island Sea Lab joins me. Talk some marine mammals, specifically the whale that got all the news. She joins me. Also, Erica Thomas coming up next hour.